Hello everyone, welcome back. Let us look at another exciting chapter, and in this course we'll discuss the different standards and specifications. Having looked at the different compliance norms and the different security acts, let us look at some of the standards and specifications in this particular session. We will start with the Information Security Management System, popularly known as the ISMS. Now, this is a compliance standard where you would see this in the requirement for all major organizations. We will look at ITSM, or the Information Technology Service Management. Again, this is a service management framework. You would see this on the must-to-have checklist of most organizations. We will look at a framework called as ITIL, that is the Information Technology Infrastructure Library, how information management, information incident management, change management, problem management, events management, monitoring management, etc. gets encapsulated in the services framework. We will then spend a little time to look at COBIT, which is Control Objective for Information Related Technology. We will look at some of the most important and stringent data security standard, which is PCI DSS, popularly known for the credit card processing industry. So this is the PCI DSS, the payment card industry, the data security standards. We will look at the ISO, which deals with the quality management system, ISO 9001. We will also look at CMMI, Capability Maturity Model Integration, which is a general standard for all IT companies. So be it like the big four in the Indian market, the TCS, Wipro, Infosys, HCL, these companies would all have SEI and CMMI level 5 compliance. So we'll spend some time to look at what kind of levels are these. And then we will also look at Six Sigma. So Six Sigma as a framework, how effective it is in terms of logging the defects, defects in terms of 1 million use cases, what is the acceptable defect ratio, and what are some of the best methodologies when it comes to Six Sigma. So we'll look at this. So I'm really excited to take you through this particular journey. So let's start. The first, we'll spend some time to understand what is ISMS, Information Security Management System. This is part of ISO 27001, 2022 certification. So let us look at this. We all understand that security is critical due to the evolving nature of the business landscape. And with the changing nature of business, the technology landscape also changes. So the nature of technology and the global accessibility to information keeps on changing with the rapidly changing landscape, be it in terms of accessing information, the spread of internet, different communication with, say, IoT sensors, different security norms, things like video conferencing, mobile applications, etc. This necessitates a shift from a focus solely on hardware and software to a comprehensive approach to integrate security in the business strategies. As more and more players we see in the e-commerce space, in the online transaction space, be it in terms of e-commerce, banking, financial services, trading, etc., etc., security happens to be or is a crucial part of all the business offerings. So the ISO 27001:2022 establishes an information security management system, offering a flexible, risk-driven framework applicable to organizations of all sizes and industries. it helps them to identify, analyze, and mitigate some of the information security risks. So it's not only for the large multinational organizations doing business in the enterprise space, but even for small startups who engage customers, do transactions, have greater platforms to engage customers, buyers, sellers. The information security management system is for everyone. It enables organizations to effectively organize and unite security controls with an enterprise-wide focus, addressing the need for both market assurance as well as governance. As organizations have different business needs, different forms of digitization are embraced. So a need for a ever-evolving information security system is the need of our to have the business operations with the right kind of security controls. Implementing controls like ISO 27001 offers numerous benefits to organization, including things like risk identification, a holistic approach towards security and compliance, credibility and trust with stakeholders, independent review and assurance, market differentiation, and market assurance with governance. Now, this can be used as a tool for market differentiation. So, companies offering good business governance along with better IT frameworks and security assurance can also be a game changer in the market. Assume that there is an organization who does, say, financial trading transactions in the stock market. God forbid if there was some kind of a security attack, getting important customer information from that particular enterprise, what kind of repercussion it would have in the market in terms of investor sentiment, the stakeholder confidence, right? Hence, security controls like ISO also help to build trust with the different stakeholders and also create a market edge differentiating between competitors. There are 13 major domains covered by ISO, and we'll spend a little time to understand each of these. The first one is the security policy. So this defines the overall security goals and guidelines for the entire organization. The second is organization of information security. So this establishes roles, responsibilities, communication channels for information security. The different roles of the different entities, different partners, different suppliers, vendors, everything gets captured in this particular domain. The third is the asset management. Now, assets could be different. So they could be physical assets, they could be electronic assets, customer records could be also an important asset. So this particular aspect identifies, classifies, and protects various valuable information assets. The fourth aspect talks about human resources, ensures that staff are aware and showcase the right kind of behavior with respect to information security. Things like sharing of password, sharing of confidential information is not happening between employees. They are trained with the up-to-date mechanisms for ensuring better security controls. Things what they should do in case of a security attack, that is to reach out to the privacy office, report a breach, etc., gets covered under the human resources. More importantly, this aspect also covers the behavior of users when it comes to sharing of data. So what kind of data is private to an organization, that is internal data, what kind of data is publicly shareable, what kind of data is confidential, sensitive. So this gets covered in case of in this particular aspect of human resources. The fifth aspect talks about the physical and the environment security. So this looks at various physical locations, the information control systems which have the physical safeguards. So say for example a particular data center location in a facility, what are the different physical controls? Things like fire separation systems, things like alarm detection, things like physical intruder detection, precision air conditioning, physical controls like say firewalls, biometric scans, etc. When someone has to walk into a data center, gets covered under the physical aspects. There are also other aspects like managing the backup, ensuring that another center, that is a disaster recovery center, is maintained in a different seismic zone. That comes under the physical standards. The sixth aspect talks about communication security. So protects the confidentiality and integrity of information during transmission and reception. So when data gets transferred from one location to another location, maybe say from the branch office to the central office, is the data encrypted? Are there proper communication channels in the form of secure communication so that to prevent something called as man-in-the-middle attack? So this particular aspect deals with the communication security. Then an important aspect is access control system. So who are the users that can access the information security systems? So role-based access controls. So me as a individual entity, what kind of access do I have to maybe certain customer data, or should I have access to need to know basis, or should I have an access policy which should be denied to all by default and granting access only on a need to know basis? So this gets covered under the role-based access controls or the access control policy. Things like authentication. So first, they would identify whether I am a legitimate user or not, and then authorize me to access that particular data which is relevant for my business use. So those come under the access control policies. There is aspect 8 which talks about information system acquisition, development and maintenance. So ensuring that the development and management of information system takes care by the proper norms, how the periodic maintenance have to happen, things like patching of the servers, the infrastructure with the latest security patches to ensure that no security related vulnerabilities are left in the systems without addressing them. Aspect 9 talks about incident management. Now this is a very vast topic by itself, but how a particular security breach can be classified as an incident, what should be the method and the process to first identify an incident, report an incident, and then take preventive steps to first mitigate the incident and ensure that these kind of incidents do not repeat in the future. So that's part of an entire incident management life cycle, where an incident first gets identified, gets reported, preventive action is taken against that particular incident, the threat, whatever is found, is mitigated, and once it is back on track, a RCA or a root cause analysis is initiated to figure out the exact root cause of the incident and thereby preventing it in the future. So the information security incident management establishes a process for identifying, reporting and responding to such kind of security incidents. Aspect 10 talks about business continuity management, popularly called as BCP or the business continuity plans. So this looks at plans for maintaining critical operations after a security incident or a disruption. So think of it this way. There is a primary center in which all the data is located. If there is, say, a major security threat, either it could be physical or IT threat, maybe there is some kind of an act of God, like, say, a flood-like situation or an earthquake, God forbid, then what happens to the business operations? Right? So that gets covered under a business continuity management. So there are different facilities called as Disaster Recovery Center as per the Information Technology Act of 2000. It says that you should have a disaster recovery center in a different seismic zone so as to have a backup center in place, not to disrupt the business operations. Aspect 11 talks about compliance. Compliance to the different information security laws and regulations. So we spoke about the Information Security Act of 2000, the DPDP Act of 2023, how the security standards have to be maintained. So this comes under the compliance. Aspect 12 talks about cryptography. So cryptography is nothing but employing encryption techniques. So whenever there is some kind of data, it gets encrypted with a particular key, and then to make it usable, there is also a decryption. So there is encryption and decryption with particular keys. So these get covered under the cryptography aspect. Things like when the data is at rest, what kind of encryption techniques are in place. Things like AES 256, which is a very popular advanced encryption standard in the market. Generally, companies or enterprises would want to know what kind of encryption techniques are used. So encryption at transit, so whenever data is moving, the data should be encrypted. So that is encryption in transit. Whenever data is there in the servers, so there is encryption at rest, and there is also something called as encryption in use. So while the data is getting used, it has to be encrypted. So these are different encryption techniques, and aspect number 12 deals exactly with this. And lastly, there is aspect number 13, which deals with operations management. So implementing what kind of operation controls to ensure ongoing security effectiveness. So things like monitoring, raising events or alerts if there is some abnormality found in the monitoring, 24/7 handling of security events. So log management, event management, monitoring management, this gets covered under the operations management. So as we discussed, so organizations may choose to undergo formal audit and certification for ISO 27001 to demonstrate compliance with internationally acceptable criteria and benefit from the best practices, with certification not being obligatory but offering market advantages. So like we discussed previously, many organizations would have ISMS certification as a part of their information security checklist. Now, vendors who comply to ISMS have a higher chances to do business with them, thereby giving them market advantages. And let's face it, we looked at all the 13 aspects of ISMS. These are quite robust in nature to prevent, say, any kind of security threats and vulnerabilities, right? So any organization would want to have all these checks and balances in place so as to get market advantage. The risk management process in ISO IEC 27001 aligns with plan, do, check and act model. So as the name suggests, first you plan, then you implement, then you measure or check, and then you act. So constant monitoring. This particular model, it facilitates iterative control and continuous improvement of the processes and products. Let us look at another aspect of ISMS, which is risk management. Now, ISO 27001, the leading standard for ISMS, provides a structured approach to information security risk management. So we looked at all the 13 aspects. Now, what do these 13 aspects emphasize on? So they plan to control the risks that are involved in doing any kind of business, get an informed judgment on these risks, evaluate the risk, and thereby mitigate some of the risks involved. So it's an enhanced framework for ensuring proper risk management in operations. It helps organization to identify, assess, and treat the information security risks effectively. By implementing ISMS, organizations can build a robust security posture and improve their overall resilience against cyber threats. Risk management in ISMS goes beyond simply identifying and reducing risks. So although we've said that ISMS is a popular framework to reduce the risk and the different aspects that help to reduce the risk, it is actually a continual process. Now, we all understand that any kind of compliance, any kind of security posture is not a point in time activity, but it's a continual process by itself. So it involves things like threat identification. So identifying potential threats that could exploit vulnerabilities in the information security systems and the data. So the first step is for threat identification. Then doing a vulnerability scanning and assessment. So identifying what are the potential weaknesses in the systems, not just restricting to the physical systems, but also to some of the processes. So processes of, say, data collection. So this includes, say, connecting with certain other third-party systems through APIs or application programmable interfaces. Now, what are these? So take an example where you go to a travel aggregator like MakeMyTrip, right? Now, MakeMyTrip as an organization is a travel aggregator. So what it does is it gets prices from hotels, it gets prices from airlines, maybe taxi vendors, etc., etc., and then it aggregates and makes you a holiday package and sends it to you. So how do you think does MakeMyTrip fetch this particular data from an airline? So there is something called as an application programmable interface. So what it does is MakeMyTrip would poll, say, the website of IndiGo and get the flight details from there. So this is how it will get the data. Now, the entire data of IndiGo Airlines is not exposed to MakeMyTrip. Only the relevant data gets pulled in by MakeMyTrip, correct? So in terms of fetching this particular data, how secure are these APIs? How these APIs fetch data securely? Is it encrypted? Is it in clear text? So this is part of a particular process of fetching data, right? So vulnerability assessment, obviously, it looks at identifying weaknesses in the system, but also these processes. we just gave an example of fetching data. So that is an internal process. What are the different controls that are in place? And how does this vulnerability scanning the different systems is included as part of the vulnerability assessment? The third is the impact assessment. So once you have identified and evaluated the different vulnerabilities, evaluating the potential consequences. So it could be, say, financial consequence, maybe that's a loss of data. It could be a reputational loss for the organization. So imagine if the customer data gets stolen and the organization comes in the news saying that, oh, there was a major data breach and a big chunk of customer data has been stolen. So it leads to a reputation loss in the market. So that gets impact analysis or impact assessment, and it could be in the form of, as we said, financial loss, reputational loss, or even operational loss for this particular security event. The other aspect is the risk prioritization, ranking the different risk bases, their potential impact, and their likelihood gets taken care in the risk prioritization. Then there is risk treatment. So depending upon the risk prioritization, which have a high impact risk, what are the controls to mitigate those risks, reduce their likelihood or minimize their impact is part of the risk treatment. So having looked at ISMS, now let us spend some time to understand the ITSM. ITSM is nothing but Information Technology Service Management. And let us look at some of the key aspects here. ITSM, that is the ISO 20000 and 2018. So these are set of practices, processes, and tools designed to deliver, manage, and control IT services effectively for the use of business. It focuses on aligning IT services with the needs of organization, ensuring that they deliver value to the customers, internal and external. So some of the key aspects of ITSM are, first, a process-driven approach. So ITSM delivers and defines a structured way of handling IT services, right from the design, development, to the deployment, operations, and ongoing monitoring and improvement. It has a clear focus on the customer. So ITSM emphasizes understanding and meeting the needs of IT service users, ensuring the services are relevant, reliable, and meet their expectations. The third and the most critical is the continual improvement. So as we all discussed that the technology service management is not a point in time activity. So this requires continuous monitoring and continual improvement by regularly evaluating and redefining and defining IT services and processes. The fourth are the standardized frameworks. So there are popular frameworks like, say, the ITIL, which we will talk about in the next slides. So ITIL is again a set of processes which provide the best practices and the guiding principles for implementing ISMS effectively. What are some of the benefits of ITSM? So we spoke about things like better security controls, more effective processes in place. So this leads to improved IT security, IT service quality. So standardized process and focus on user leads to more reliable and user-friendly IT services, increased efficiency and cost savings. Streamline processes and automation can save a lot of time and resources and have an impact on the cost as well. Enhanced user satisfaction. So a focus on user experience improves employee and customer satisfaction with IT services. Improved risk management. ITSM helps to identify and mitigate risks associated with IT services. Better alignment with business goals. Now, let us understand. So all these frameworks, be it ITSM or ISMS, they all have a common objective in mind, which is better alignment with business strategy and thereby ensuring that the business processes are optimized to get the best revenue. So IT services are aligned with business objectives, ensuring that they contribute to the overall success of doing business. Let us look at now a popular standard. So we just spoke about ITIL in the previous slide and how ITIL has a role to play in the ITSM process. So now let us look at what is ITIL. So ITIL stands for Information Technology Infrastructure Library. Currently it is on version 4. So the earlier version, the popular versions, if you look at some of the past tenders or specifications, they would say that ITIL version 3. But as we see businesses getting changed and the continually changing IT landscape, we see ITIL version 4 now. So ITIL version 4 is a valuable tool for organizations looking to implement effective ISMS practices to get the best out of the IT services. And ITIL builds on the core principles of ITSM. It's not only the ITSM framework, but the guiding principle behind the implementation of ITSM. The other frameworks like VeriSM or COBIT also have also offer guidance on the implementation of ITSM practices. We will look at COBIT as a framework, how it helps to enhance the implementation of information technology security management. Organization can choose the framework that best suits their specific needs and goals. So let's look at an analogy. Imagine ITSM as a vast continent representing different practices for managing IT services. So ITIL V4 is like a well-developed road network within the continent, guiding you to the most efficient routes to reach to your destination. So just like ITIL V4, you would have, say, COBIT as another one of the guiding principles to deploy ITSM, right? So ITSM, as we saw, it has different guiding principles for better effective controls in the organization, and ITIL offers one of the ways in which ITSM can be effectively implemented. ITIL V4, so this is a specific framework within the ITSM landscape. It provides a set of best practices and guidance for implementation of effective service management based on the ITSM principles. So what does ITIL V4 offer? So it provides a valuable framework for organizations of all sizes looking to improve their IT service management practices and ensure IT services effectively support the business goals. Now we saw that the ITSM has to act in accordance with the business principles, so as to have a positive effect on the businesses. So ITIL V4 also offers the similar capabilities. It was released in 2019 and builds upon the core principle of ITSM while introducing a more flexible and service-centric approach. What does it include? So it includes first value creation. So it focuses on delivering services that create value for the business. So it's not just a technical functionality or a IT related functionality, but it encompasses the entire process in which it adds more value to the business, the way in which business is conducted in terms of the processes, the people, the automation, thereby having a greater value to the business. Service value systems. So this framework defines key components and activities involved in delivering IT services that contribute to the overall business goals. So as we said, it's no longer related only to the IT processes, because if IT processes are more effective, so would be the people and so would be the processes, and thereby contributing to the business objectives. The four service capabilities that organizations need to focus on for effective development of ITSM include, first, the specialist and the technical management. So the skills and the relevant amount of technical knowledge required to implement the right kind of skills. The second is the strategy and the design. So this comes more from a top-down approach as to what exactly is the alignment between IT and business needed for achieving effective business goals. The third is the delivery and the continual operations. So once you have the strategy in place, once you have the skill set in place, the right kind of IT systems in place, how effectively are those delivered and how effective are the ongoing operations of the IT systems? And the fourth is the continual improvement. So looking at the IT systems, looking at the processes, how effective are the constantly improving IT systems and adapting to the continual changes. The fourth aspect is the DevOps practices. Now, you would have seen or heard the term DevOps being used in the current scenario. So DevOps, CI/CD, this means recognizing the importance of the approaches which are continually changing in nature. Build them into the service management practices so that anything gets changed gets continually improved. So that's part of the DevOps practices.